Hey there, Circusnex. It's your old pal, Space Lord PJs, coming at you live in your ear holes here at Vorpal Tales. This is Awesome Adventures Allocutions, where we allocute about all things awesome and adventurous. Today, I have with me two of my favorite peoples, Made of Kimchi and Patty Shakes. Introduce yourselves, kids. Tell us about all about yourselves, minus your social security number, or you can throw that out if you want to.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Oh, you're a gentleman, to be sure. Yes, I am Patty Shakes underscore on the internet, but you can also know me as Patrick. I am with Vorpal Tales. I do a lot of the 5e stuff and a lot of the acquisitions of the wonderful partners like Gemhammer and Sons and Hit Point Press and QU Empire. You should totally check out all of those great, wonderful sponsors of ours.
Thank you, Patty, for reminding me to have a advertisement intro next time.
See, this is why you invite me to the show. I just these great ideas that flow forth from my brain.
Yeah, I would say that these two guys right here always fucking nail it. Speaking of these two guys, Kimchi, Dwayne, introduce yourself.
Yes, I am Made of Kimchi on the internet, and most of the time people call me Dwayne. You can call me Dwayne as well. I am also a member of Vorpal Tales. I am one of the game masters currently running Black Void on Thursdays and Aberrant, which is a superhero game that we soon be talking about on Saturdays.
Cool. Dwayne, you implied that people call you something other than Dwayne, I feel.
You know, given my family.
Well, made of kimchi, right?
Right. Yeah. But I mean, really, a lot of people do call me, they either call me Kimchi, Made of Kimchi, or just by my last name. A lot of people don't really call me Dwayne.
They always really? Call me Maury.
Yeah, it's just Maury. Huh.
Interesting. Well, glad to have you two on the show. Let's get to today's topic, cooked up for us by focus groups. Let's get to today's topic, cooked up for us by our focus groups and their home offices all around the world. Yes, that's right. We have focus groups all around the world. Polling all of our listeners. This is a true statement. It would seem the peeps want us to talk about superheroes in tabletop RPGs because, you know, the Snyder Cut's a thing in the universe right now. So, yeah.
So I saw one of our wonderful members of our Discord was talking about, oh, I started the Snyder Cut. And you're like, ha, only 4 hours to go. But see, that's not a joke.
Yeah,
no. It is not. I think when I looked at it, it was 4 hours and 5 minutes. 4 hours and 15 minutes?
Yeah, so Thursday, for whatever goddamn reason, I decided I was going to watch this after watching Oliver. So, yeah, I've seen it. It's a thing that's in the
okay,
universe.
Okay, so my initial question out the gate, you gotta answer this first.
Yes.
Is it better than the first? Is it better than a normal Justice League?
So I need to find my notes that I was talking to this with our friend Rob the other day. And so here's my final thoughts on the Snyder Cut, and might be a hot take, but I'm not a huge Snyder fan. So, I mean,
you that like everything being various shades of sepia and gritty,
like, I mean, that's what's wrong with this movie to begin with is like, you know, he chose the black suit for Superman, which doesn't fit anyway. So I thought about the Snyder Cut. I've had a couple days to think about it, and I don't hate it. It's kind of enjoyable in all of its insanity, yet insufferable in its ego. while I think the movie took extra scenes, it took the time to sort of explain what's happening more than explain what's going on with the characters. And it ultimately explains the story a little bit better. I don't think it's any better of a movie than what the shit Hill Whedon created. Like, I don't think it's going to save the DC movies. In fact, I feel it kind of further harms them just because of the length of the movie. And the whole
thing making people revisit a movie that they already unanimously said was bad.
Right. So the whole thing
like, oh, come revisit it because I swear it's super better this time.
Like, not to discourage anybody from reading, watching it, but the whole thing just feels unnecessary. And like, you kind of feel like, oh, this just exists to get buy-ins on HBO Max. That's it. Like,
I do have to agree with you.
Did you see it?
I'm only about an hour and a half in.
Oh,
but I'll be honest.
When it's a movie where you're like,
I'm only an hour and a half in. I had to take a break, collect myself.
No, I had to run the game tonight, so I.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
But you know, I started watching it, and just in my eyes, automatically, it's you know, some of the graphics. I'm not going to give any spoilers or anything, but one of the characters, I think they redid that character very well.
He's yes.
Not as emo anymore.
Yes. Yes,
you know who I'm talking about, shiny guy.
Yes,
yeah. So I think they redid him very well. I think he fits into the movie much better than the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the extra storytelling from the you know, extended clips and whatnot is good, but I found myself, I would see a clip that, you know, a new clip or a new portion of the movie, and I would say, oh, okay, that's good. And then it would get to one that I've already seen, and you just see me fast forwarding.
The funny thing is like, it does do that extra bit to like introduce the scene better, but then there's these weird camera holds for like 5 minutes on the same piece of action or the same setting, and it's just like, why am I here? And also, Dwayne, how much of that first hour that you've watched is slow-mo?
A lot.
Would you say like 45 minutes of the first hour is actual slow-mo?
Slow motion.
Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah, like a no freaking joke. Like 4 hours of this movie, or I would say like the movie's 4 hours, three of it slow-mo. Like that's why it's so long, because it's just that much slow-mo. Like
I get you have to use slow-mo when you have characters like Superman and the Flash that, you know, move, you know, the Flash can literally move through time with his speed. Like I get that you have to use slow-mo, but like I feel like there's ways you can showcase them without making, you know, a majority of your movie slow-mo. Like you can have fights where you don't need to show.
But it wasn't even that. It was slow-mo.
Just slow-mo. Slow-mo.
Here I am making an assumption of the logical thing that would be used on.
No, it was some of the, you know, it's always like that, you know, when a superhero walks into a room and sees something, you know, amazing or diabolical, it's like, oh my god, that slow motion where they look over, or the, you know, the evil villain looks over. Yeah, that's where, you know, you need like the 3 seconds of slow-mo, but I don't need 5 minutes of Aquaman staring at a statue in slow motion and then another 5 minutes when he looks back at it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, how else are you supposed to show significance and, you know, build up drama?
I got it in the first 5 minutes.
yeah. Like, yeah, and probably a hot take. I think Jared Leto's Joker is underrated, honestly.
No. See, this is where I am one of the Jared Leto's Joker is an abomination upon all things.
I thought that at the beginning, and he's not great in Suicide Squad, but let's be honest, that movie's kind of a movie.
One of my favorite YouTube videos is, not to get too far track from Justice League, but it is one of my favorite videos, though, is this guy that just rips apart Suicide Squad.
Is it Folding Ideas?
I believe Dan, so. What's his name? Yeah.
Yeah. Steve probably showed it to you, right?
Yes. And it's okay, just like,
yes.
From the beginning, like he just destroys the whole thing. Like from the, you know, from them going into the jail to just like every, like it's not just like plot choices either. Like he rips apart like camera shots and framing and things like that. And you're like, oh no, this was a bad movie all the way through.
Yeah. Like, and I kind of enjoy Suicide Squad just because it's silly and dumb and it's whatever. But once you watch that video, it's like, oh yeah, there is a lot of, it's like a George Lucas film where just shit's all over the screen. And yeah, you know, it's a thing. I realize I'm throwing out a lot of hot takes here with, you know, saying George Lucas films are bad. Anyway,
it's everybody's opinion,
right? Anybody's opinion opposite of mine is wrong.
He just lost a lot of people there.
You know what, come back on and next episode and I'll try harder, how's that?
how about we bring this 180 and go back to
superheroes?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, okay, superheroes and tabletop. I know early on we did Mutants and Masterminds. Dwayne, you're doing Trinity Aberrant right now, which is Onyx Paths. Yeah, so Dwayne and I'll let you guys talk since I've just been blabbering. Dwayne, why don't you tell us about Trinity and how awesome it is?
So the interesting twist that I like about Trinity Continuum Aberrant is, you know, a lot of people when they go to play a superhero game, they're always thinking of, you know, you have to be the good guy. Well, in Aberrant, you're not. You're the dirty, the unclean, or the you know, the black hat team that is going around and doing all the dirty work. And actually, anyone who's been following the show, they learned that the corporation that they're working for is actually killing off their kind.
Ooh.
So there's always in Aberrant, there's always these huge plot twists that you know, the evil person that you're supposedly looking for is actually the person who's employing you. And that is one of the things that I do like about Aberrant. It's always about the dirt and the grit, and you know, there's always a level of collateral damage in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you use your powers, there's always that chance that you overuse your powers. You know, like if super, you know, like in the movie Superman, the Superman Returns. Yeah, you know, when they're fighting and they're destroying the entire city,
right?
You know, a lot of people don't think of that when they think of superheroes. They're like, oh yeah, they just go around and they beat up the bad guy. Well, how many times is, you know, Batman blown up a building trying to chase somebody, or, you know, caused cars to go off the side of the road, you know, in a police chase? Well, you know, tabletop games, especially Aberrant, tend to focus on, well, what happened to those people that were affected by the powers of the superhero? How many people died when some random superhero exploded due to overusing his powers and blew up a, you know, a 5-story hotel? What happened?
Mm-hmm.
What is the outcome of those people?
Yeah. And if you notice the movies and comics that go into those repercussions, so Civil War, the comic series, the movie, even like something as like The Incredibles from Disney, people really love those, like that, because what it does is it humanizes superheroes, you know, it makes them confront the, you know, okay, instead of the, you know, everyone writing off the sun happy, it makes the ending is, you know, well, millions of people just died. You know, what are you gonna do about that? Cool. Thanks for getting rid of the evil robot or the bad guy. But, you know, you dropped a building on them, and do you know how many people were in that building?
Yeah, it's a very good point. But that tends to be, because Aberrant is an Onyx Path game, Onyx Path tends to be a little bit on the darker side. So
yeah.
You know, as opposed to Mutants and Masterminds, or even like Masks, it's you know, it's a little bit, they're a little bit on the lighter side. It's, yeah, we're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can go on the lighter side with Mutants Masterminds, but our Mutants Masterminds game ended pretty dark itself.
So, we just did the statistics and realized that show did pretty well for us, statistically wise. So
because it went dark and made the heroes, you know, confront reality and confront their human sides.
Yeah, what was
which one was that one?
I missed the last one, so I don't remember.
That's exactly right. You were not there. Yeah. So the ending of that series was, the bad guys were there. Basically, what that had happened was the scientist inadvertently had a extra-dimensional being come through a portal that he, like, you know, he had it made a machine that created a portal, and an extra-dimensional being came through that portal, and it was stuck, and it didn't quite understand, you know, it's a Cthulhu level being that doesn't get like humanity. So the idea was to try to send it back. The villains were trying to steal that technology and, you know, kind of use it for evil. So the ending was, Sean's character, the Siberian, gets blasted into space and, you know, ends up on the moon and, you know, abducted by some extraterrestrials. We don't know what really happened to him. My character, the Arbalest.
I was in that. Yeah. I'm like, wait a second. Why do I know this story?
Yeah. You were Apo Man.
Yeah, I was Apo Man.
My character, the Arbalest,
is able to shut the machine off and get any information about the plans or whatever, but I have the extraterrestrial, I have this Cthulhu-esque being delete my memories so that nothing can ever make this, all traces of that technology is gone from the world. And my character's background was I used to be a villain, so then my character reverts back to being a villain. Yeah, and then Apo Man is kind of, you know, without the team there, he's you know, not from this world, so he goes back to just, you know, not really fitting in with humanity. Yeah, it was a dark ending.
Apo Man was like a very socially awkward Superman.
It was great because you're an alien, like Superman, you're an alien, but like you weren't. It wasn't like you were an alien that came here as a baby and raised by humans, and so you got humans. You came here like as an adult Apo Man, and you're just like, beds.
I don't understand what you guys are doing.
Why are you laying on a soft piece of fabric? I don't understand.
I did like that scene. That was good.
Yeah, I love the ability in Mutants and Masterminds to just kind of create whatever you want. We created
a lot of pretty
awesome characters, yeah. I felt. Me and Steve actually met by playing a game at a comic shop of Mutants Masterminds using just pre-mades of like DC and Marvel characters and stuff. And okay. I think we played 2-3 years, it's probably about 2 years, just this long ass mixed. We played so many games. Okay, so we played a DC game where that was at the time when New 52 was coming out and like the timelines were advanced. So we just kind of advanced the timeline and made up our own like DC characters. So that was cool. And then me, Steve, and a bunch of others we made our own like Marvel universe that we played through for the longest time. And then, we ended up just sort of creating our own universe. And that went on for like 2-3 years. And I still have it all, just a plethora of character sheets and plot devices and just like years worth of material to pull from. So it is a game that, or it is a system, I would say, that you can do a long campaign, but you kind of need to do it in spurts and sort of shorter stories. And there's a longer arc going on. And I think now I'm not as, because I don't game as much as I usually do. It's good to sort of take a break between those sorts of games, just because it can get pretty wild. And I think one of the underused elements of it is, so the game, when you create a character, it tells you to create it at level 10. And that's sort of like your normal average powered human or superhero, I guess you should say. But you can do lower levels, which are like street heroes. So you can make like a Daredevil or a Punisher or somebody like that who just isn't as powered, and you fight a bunch of mooks and ninjas and things, and there's always like a main boss. And so you can do different, and then you can go all the way to cosmic levels with like fighting a power level 20 character and just going all out and
go fight Galactus.
I think the end of a lot of our stories were either a Galactus type character or Apocalypse or an insanely powered, where you're just like, I have so many points, I don't know what more powers to give this thing. And just it gets pretty insane. There was this whole forum where people were just making characters in like Superman, Batman, and we could just go steal them, or not steal them, we just go copy them. And
Tales does not condone plagiarism.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a dude who's making characters on the license, but it was actually encouraged because Green Ronin actually has forums where that's actually encouraged. Like, give us your builds, show your builds, and talk about your builds, because you can get really in the weeds on, because it basically goes, here's a bunch of points, here's the stock powers that have a lot of arbitrary vagueness to them, so that you can kind of, there's the blast power, but that power could be like a fire blast or a laser beam or something like that. Okay. So the sort of aesthetics of it doesn't matter. It's, but there's a little bit of mechanics behind it. How much ever you put into that power is how strong it is, basically. So, and you can mix match. You can have a laser beam that does damage, but then you can switch it so that it stuns or blinds or something like that. So it's really awesome that way. It's a really robust system. I think
that's something that we should harp on for anyone who's listening, who has never played either a Mutant the Mastermind or, you know, Trinity Continuum. When you're creating these superheroes, you know, like Sean said, in Mutants and Masterminds, you have a, you know, point system to where you can buy your powers. So it's not, you could walk in with a concept to say, oh, I want to be like a Superman type character, but you've got to buy that super strength, and you've got to buy that, you know, the laser eyes and flight and stuff like that. And it's the same thing in Aberrant. You know, if you want to be a teleporter, well, how far are you able to teleport, depending on how strong that teleportation spell is? You know, like if you wanted to be like Azazel from X-Men, you know, do you want to be able to teleport 10 feet, or do you want to be able to teleport a town away, or do you want to be able to teleport across the globe? And depending on how you want to build that character, the powers change and the costs change, and you know, you might have something that's super powerful, you might have something that's a little bit weaker. And it's very, the systems for building superheroes in almost any system is very fluid.
Yeah, you're kind of like a mage with a bunch of powers, basically.
Yeah.
Patty, I know you're kind of newer to gaming, and you've done a lot with 5e. And when you dipped into Mutants and Masterminds, like how big of a deal was that for you? Did you enjoy it?
I had the benefit of having all of you there. So what was really cool, and I recommend this to anybody who wants to kind of dip their toes, is try and get paired up, or at least work with somebody, or, you know, have a friend, or, you know, now that, you know, vaccines are coming out and the end times are endings here, you know, go to a game shop that someone is, you know, that people have played these superhero systems, and make your character with them. Because what I got to do was, you know, it was more of a kind of discussion of like, okay, like who's your favorite superheroes? And then, you know, what powers from those superheroes do you like? And, you know, which ones would you prefer over others and things like that. And I basically, Tyler made my character for me based off the discussion we were having. So that was really cool. But as far as doing actions or combat or anything like that, the system is fairly easy. It's just, you know, pick whatever skill it is. Like, it does a lot of, like you were saying, like you can, your blast ability can be flavored as a laser beam or your sun bolts or whatever it is. So you just describe your character as, well, I'm going to like jump off the roof at the same time, like firing an arrow. Okay. Just roll your attack. Like there's literally just something called like martial arts or attack or, you know, whatever. You just roll that. And then based on your successes, then you can describe this really cool superhero moment of, jump off, and, you know, as I'm doing a flip through the air, I fire my arrow and, you know, it hits. Whereas, like, you know, in D&D, it's like, I want to jump through the air, do a flip, and, you know, hit three guys with my arrow. Okay, well, that's like an acrobatics check followed by an attack roll, followed by another attack roll at disadvantage. And then to see if you actually hit them in the chest or the head, I'm going to need a percentage roll to see if that, you know, to get where you want to go, since it's a called shot. Where in Mutant Masterminds, it's like, okay, yeah, you mean you're a superhero. So, like, that happens.
I think that's one of those cool things that Mutants and Masterminds and like the storyteller systems, like movement speed and sort of like the mechanics are basically you can do stuff. Whereas in something like, say, you know, the fifth edition is you can do these things, this array of things, but you can usually only do like two of those array of things during your turn. Whereas you can get much more cinematic with things with these superhero systems, which I think is a lot of fun, which lends itself to like some really good storytelling, I think.
The idea of an action in 5e and in Pathfinder, you know, it has a set rule, like an action can only be this. In a story path game, an action is like, what do you want to do during your scene?
I will say though, that does kind of limit just, you know, a con is if you are not very much, if you are not a Theater of the Mind person, story path games are a little bit harder to play because
yes.
you really can't do story path games like on a grid with minis. Like it's just not possible. You can't, you can't showcase the whole, cause distances don't really matter in story path games. Like when you describe, like usually in story path games, you describe distances like close and far. Like, are they a mile away or are they like within 300 feet? Like, and you know,
it's not a superhero game, but when we were doing Infinity, there's the concept of like close, far, and then just like at an impossible distance. And there's like sort of a grid, which I really want to try to sort of use more in the games that I run, just to give some sort of concept of how far you are from a person so that, you know, yes, I want to go kick attack that person. Well, they're a mile away. So let's think about what's within the scope of your character.
Start running.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's where the storyteller should come in and be like, you know, it's going to take you like, okay, you'll begin your charge or whatever you want it to be. And next round, you'll be able to do that cool stuff. But it's going to take you a minute to get there.
Yeah, that's one of the hard things about running a superhero game, I think, too, is the sort of feats of scale that you're dealing with. Like somebody's a speedster, somebody's got flight, somebody's got teleport, and like that can get really hard really fast keeping track of everything that's going on. So yeah, it is one of the, like Patty said, Theater of the Minds sometimes times a thousand just because of everything that everybody's doing and sort of the insane thing that people can do if they pumped up their powers pretty high. So
yeah, that is a problem for me right now running Aberrant. It's almost everything is at a feat of scale. So everything, you know, oh, my stamina is 3, but I have mega stamina of 2, which means I multiply everything by 2. So instead of 4, I have 8, and then my damage is, you know, it's times 16.
Ooh.
So I just see your addition. But at the same time, you have to think as a player, and sometimes, you know, I forget this stuff. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm going too easy on them, but some of the people that they're fighting are just like regular humans. So it doesn't really matter how big your feat of scale is because you're a superhero. You punch a human,
you shatter their spine.
They're going to be down and out anyways. So, you know, when they're like, oh yeah, I dish out 16 damage. And I'm like, ugh, that's a lot.
Yeah. But
really, it's not, because if they're fighting other superheroes, you know, their feats of scale don't count because in Aberrant, if you have the same scale, it counts as nothing. So it's just like you're rolling whatever your normal is. So if you have four strength, you're rolling 4 strength. Feat of scale goes out the window.
Yeah, that's always a fun concept with hero games is the concept of minions, where you can just have hundreds of dudes on the field and it doesn't really matter. They're just sort of a hindrance to sort of maybe do a point of damage or two to the heroes to just to annoy them.
That one critical shot chance.
Yes. Minion number 42 actually got a crit this time. So oops.
but it raises the player's chance to botch.
Yes. Yeah. And that's always the fun thing is with hero games is just, oh, you rolled a 1? All right, let's see what happens for the rest, then see what we can do with that 1.
Yeah.
So, of superhero games, I mean, I know we've, you know, I talk about Aberrant because I'm running it right now, Mutants and Mastermind because we've all played in it. I only really know of 2 other solid, well, maybe 3 solid, like, well-known superhero games.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Masks, A New Generation. GURPS, because you can do anything with GURPS.
Oh, God, GURPS. Here's your character sheet. It's 42 pages.
Do you like reading, kid? Do you like absurd math?
Do you like grids? Do you like charts? Do you like tables?
And then one of them that I actually really like. So earlier you talked about making superheroes that are lower than your normal superhero. So, you know, you've got your Daredevil and your Jessica Jones, your Luke Cage, stuff like that. Hit the Streets.
I've never heard of that one.
So hit the streets, defend the block. And it's all about, you know, no flying powers. Don't be a trust fund kid, you know, grounded heroes that balance fighting muggers with paying bills.
Huh. Cool.
So, you know, it's your everyday Joe that is like, wow, I can pick up a car.
Yeah, some of my favorite heroes are like the character you're always like, you know, why do they need Hawkeye? They've got friggin', you know, they got a God of Thunder. Why do they need the guy with the bow and arrow? Or, you know, they have literally Superman. Why do they need the Green Arrow? Those are my favorite characters. I love, you know, the guy that's there just to remind the literal gods and aliens that, hey, this is Earth, and you know, you're here to save. If you're here, you're here to save humans, and you know, learn about humanity. Don't forget that. Don't lose that in the whole like punching another god in the face kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like some of the. I've played a few games that are street level type games, and you get a lot more of the sort of detective aspects of those types of games, just because you don't have a lot of power. Like, you know, most of your superpowered characters have like X-ray vision or super hearing or something like that, mm-hmm. Which makes doing a mystery kind of difficult. Yeah. Because if you somehow nullify that power to hide the mystery, everybody goes, well, I think we found the location because it's, you know, deadened to our senses, so let's burst.
Or, you know, it cheapens that player's experience because it's like, well, right. I have this power and you're just making so my power doesn't work. That sucks.
Yeah, like that. I played in a game with a guy who, and we were playing DC characters. I don't really like playing established universes just because everybody has their own sort of expectations of what a character should be like. So sure. If you start playing Superman differently than what somebody else plays it or would think it should be played as, like, there immediately becomes conflict and just like, yeah. Don't want to do this anymore. But I was playing a game and the GM didn't know how to handle Superman in a game, so immediately I just kept encountering red kryptonite. Or no, I just encountered. I kept encountering just green kryptonite, or red, I think, makes him angry. So then I just didn't have any control, and then they got control of me. So I was just like, "Well, this isn't fun. I'm going to change my character because you don't know how to handle it." So
doesn't seem very fair to me.
No, it's not fun. And I think that's one of the hard things about powered hero games is just being. It really is a different. Like I said, you've got a field full of mages that can kind of do anything with their spells, in quotes. So you really have to think hard about what mm-hmm. what sort of barriers you're going to put up to create challenges for the players. So yeah, it's not like you can just put a locked door in front of somebody and be like, oh, well, do your lock picking. Like, well, I burst the door through with my super strength, or, you know, yeah. I go through the wall and avoid the door. Like,
yeah, I just phase step through it, or I teleport through it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, that door really stopped you.
Oh, but yeah. at the same time, it is, I mean, I do believe that a lot of players believe that, you know, everything should fall on the GM or the storyteller, or, you know, whatever the game calls that person. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it really does fall back on the players too, because you are making the story. I mean, especially in a storytelling, you know, a storyline game, there really is no story. Like as a storyteller, I have an idea of, I want you to get from point A to point B. How you're getting there, I have no idea.
Yeah.
So if you keep, you know, as a player, if you are, I don't want to use the word arrogant, but you know, if you're playing your character arrogantly and it's like, oh yeah, I bust down the door and I punch through the wall. Yeah, a superhero can do that, but you don't see Superman like, oh, there's somebody here and he just busts through the wall. Ah, I gotcha. So, you know, he'll wait outside for the person to come out, and then it's like, you know, things like that. I don't think a lot of players in general tend to think of that like, oh yeah, I can shape the way that the story goes.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I do differently for my superhero games is in most of my games, I usually have I have a point A, a point B, and like some stuff that I want to hit in the middle, just a small mm-hmm. outline. With hero games or powered games, I tend to have to get a few more details in there just to cover, and it helps knowing what type of powered characters your players are playing, so that you can kind of make obstacles for them that don't cheapen, you know, you don't throw kryptonite at them, but you might throw an indestructible door that's probably thicker than most, and it's going to take a couple of rounds to punch through. And then that, you know, the strong man has to pound against it and roll a couple of times to try to get through it. So thinking about the materials that you're including in your environment is really important.
Yeah, because while at the same time you don't want to just say someone's power doesn't work and then cheapen the experience, you also, you know, reward the player and let the strong man have his scene where he's strong and right. opens the door. Oh, so
yeah. I learned I think playing and GMing powered games was where I learned don't depower the player, because that's the most frustrating thing in the world. Like they were given that, or they chose that power, they were given that power by their class or whatever. Don't steal that from them. That's theirs. That's their pride and joy. Find ways just to make that thing a little more difficult, but don't absolutely nullify it. Like that's the most infuriating thing I think I've ever encountered in gaming, is just, oh, okay, well, my shtick is broken. I can't do it now.
Yeah, right. Like if you want to simplify, it's like, you know, taking the bow away from Green Arrow. It's like, oh, okay, well, guess I'll stay here and twiddle my thumbs.
Yep, I'm good. Well, you know, the Green Arrow, you know, is martial arts. He's called the Green Arrow, okay? I don't know what.
Yeah. If I wanted to use my martial arts, I'd have played Batman. Why do you think I picked the archery guy?
But even like throwing the Green Arrow underwater, like you can still sort of flub it that, you know, the arrow is go through the water.
Well, he brings his harpoon gun.
Right, or harpoon gun or something. Yeah, you know.
With all of his harpoon gun attachments.
But like Dwayne said, that's something on the player. Like, you can throw the Green Arrow underwater, and the player's got to think of a way around that. So,
yeah,
you know, like you said, having a harpoon gun, that's a thing. So, yeah.
I will say, to add to the list of superhero games, I would cautiously throw in Scion in there. Especially when you're playing literally one of the books is called Hero. Mm-hmm. The idea of, for those who don't know, Scion is you are somehow a descendant of one of the many gods of all the different, you know, religions and cultures of the world. And you kind of discover your history and your powers through time. And one of the things you can start out with is just, you have literally just discovered that, so you're trying to figure things out. And so, you know, you might be the son of Zeus, and you know, you figure out that you can like send out, like you can static electricity shock people, and you're a little bit stronger than you were before. You know, you can't quite pick up a car, but you can maybe like lift it halfway up.
You're not throwing out lightning bolts, but you can
maybe make a
computer overload or something.
But it allows for that development of then you become basically Zeus. Like you can go all the way to demigod, where you know you are hucking thunderbolts at people. So it kind of allows for that scaling. They just did a couple new expansions. They made it so you can get horror and cult Cthulhu-y, they also added an expansion Dragon, where you can play as basically like super spies, which I will say, I think both of you in that game with me that I ran the Dragon game.
I was in both. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a lot of fun. Because spoiler alert, as the GM, your prep work is to watch James Bond movies. So like. Go watch James Bond and heist movies, and then just like make up an overly complicated situation where these, you know, powerful beings have to infiltrate something or break into something or heist something, and then just sit back and let the shenanigans happen. And I thought that was that's another cool kind of spin on it, is, you know, the idea of playing a hero that doesn't necessarily, you know, wear the spandex tights and charge in the battle with the big symbol on their chest. You know, there's the heroes that, you know, fight, you know, you have your heroes like, you know, Dr. Fate or something that are fighting the unknown and keeping away things we can't even possibly think of. Or, you know, you have your Black Widows that are, you know, doing your secret behind the scenes kind of stuff. So I think that Scion's a cool system, allows you to kind of explore the non-traditional hero stuff.
And you know, I'm sorry, Sean, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I was going to say, you know, even that, I'm not sure how popular Scion is among people who play other super, like specifically superhero RPGs, but just that idea, especially from Scion Hero, that you are starting out as a normal person and then you are gaining these powers. I think if someone implemented that, even if it was in Mutants and Masterminds, if somebody started that out as you are Joe Bob on the street, and then, you know,
you're Peter Parker pre-Spider Bite.
Yeah. If you could start out as, you know, teenage high school guy and is bitten by spider, and then, like, you know, the next, you know, the first couple of episodes of the show are you learning how to use your powers and you know, wearing that horrible pajama getup with a you know, ski mask and stopping a couple of muggers, and then you get more into it, and then you have, like, and then the super villain comes along, and then you're full on superhero.
You're crazy. The super villain isn't even a super villain yet. The super villain's like your school bully still, or, you know, to take away from Homecoming, it's your girlfriend's dad. Like,
yeah,
it's this kind of, you know, non-super serious world ending, or even, like, you know, city threatening supervillain. It's this, you know, even this other average guy who's just decided to be on the other side of the law of you.
But even think of Superman, like, you know, when Superman came to Earth, he was a child, and, you know, he had to learn how to, you know, he learned about his powers and he had to learn how to control them, and then he became Clark Kent.
That is actually a concept I've been thinking about, because I'm going to be running Mutants and Masterminds here eventually, and I've been thinking about not starting at power level 10, but much, much lower, and doing a sort of beginnings of learning how to be a sort of street level game, and then there is an ultimately powered, where he doesn't even need to be ultimately powered, because a power level 10 super or character is, you know, terrifying to somebody who's only level 2 and can only do, like, sparkles out of their fingers, you know, sort of thing.
Right.
So yeah, I have been toying with the idea of having much lower powered characters and sort of gradually building up to, you know, earning the S on your chest and the cape and everything. I just
had this idea of, like, crossing systems. Like, you play some other, like, you play maybe like Tales from the Loop, or you play some other system, mm-hmm. where you are just, like, you know, that punk teenage kid, and then you switch to, you know, Mutants and Masterminds or whatever once you've completed your origin story and gotten your powers.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Actually, so funny enough, every story that I've told with Vorpal Tales is part of a larger story, and there's just carried over small little elements that I just drop in every once in a while that I'm trying to build to something much larger, just with all the stories, that eventually I think I'm going to end up at writing my own system or something, and that's where it'll culminate. I don't know yet, but I'm trying to build towards something bigger that involves, like, powered characters or mechs or kaiju, just, you know, where you end up at just this sort of apocalyptic level of just stuff, and it all has been built up towards just through all these games that we've run. So we'll see what happens, but that I like sort of the slow burn of just, like, oh, there's a piece there, okay, caught that clue, just things going on. So yeah, it's you can get, I like the idea of starting very small, and like Dwayne said, starting very small and getting to the bigger elements. That should be fun.
Sure. Almost like you start as Mystery Incorporated, and then become Ocean's 11, and then become, like, you know, Justice League, you know, or whatever, like that kind of progression.
Yeah. Even the, you know, the one guy who wants to be like, yeah, I want to be Iron Man. All right. Well, think of how Iron Man came to be. Tony Stark just didn't wake up one day and he was Iron Man. Yeah, he started out as a normal dude. Well, I mean, a millionaire, but you know what I mean. He was just a guy.
Yeah, you know, and you probably, I feel like a early Iron Man character would probably be something like a Punisher, where you're using guns to go fight crime.
That's what you do.
You make weapons. So
eventually you upgrade those guns for power gauntlets or something, and then a whole suit. Right. And then that'd be really cool.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't matter what any superhero, they always have some baseline story. Even, you know, Green Lantern. Help me out here. I'm horrible with comics.
if you're talking about like a
even something that's like very, very majestic, and you're like, whoa, take like Silver Surfer.
You know, I don't know the Silver Surfer story all that well, other than being the Herald of Galactus, but
I don't know either, but I know he didn't start out that way.
Right. He was a dude and who liked surfing. He was a
scientist, wasn't he?
And then fell into a vat of silver solvent and
I feel like you're mixing a couple stories there.
Yeah.
This is totally how that happened. This is
canon now.
This is canon. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
Google it.
Which now I expect somebody in our shows to make the gilded skateboarder, who's just a dude who fell into a gold vat and now it's just
the gilded skateboarder.
Yeah. That doesn't happen. I'm going to be very disappointed in all of you.
A little bit of a Tony Hawk tribute.
I'll be the Rhinestone Rollerblader. He
officially retired.
Rhinestone Rollerblader. There you go.
Do I like it?
God, Dwayne, now I want you to play on Wednesdays.
Has anyone ever played City of Heroes?
So I actually, yes, I did play City of Heroes as well as.
I know it's a little off topic, but.
No, like that was, I mean, that's the thing is like, there's not a lot of powered superhero games. Like Control is probably the most recent one that I think got anywhere near that level of like, oh, okay, you're super powered. You can blast through walls. But yeah, City of Heroes was really awesome. I loved that game. I wish I could just get all the files and make a server for it, because God, that thing was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was so old school, and just it was actually kind of hard to solo in that game. But I remember I didn't really like any of the looks and aesthetics to any of the stuff that was in that game, because you know it's what, yeah, I mean, that game's 25 years. Yeah, it was very so I ended up, and I couldn't think of a concept, and I really wanted to make a brawler, and I just had this idea of a sword. So I ended up making, this was the dumbest thing, the executive ninja, where he wore like a suit and had like the ninja hat. And I just cobbled together all this like stuff where he just looked like a business suit with a ninja hat. But it was a lot of fun. It was stupid, but it was fun. The class was awesome. Yeah. I think the lack of superhero fighting video games, just it depresses me sometimes.
Yeah, it's just people have their shots to do it and they don't do it. The Avengers game that came out recently.
Oh,
I have not played it.
By Crystal Dynamics.
Yeah. Oh
God, that game made me so sad. Like you just have so much potential and you just ruin it. Like the part of the problem is the developing team was Crystal Dynamics, which you probably only heard of them because they made the Tomb Raider games that have been good recently. They only made Tomb Raider. So I feel like at some point they somehow, someone tapped them like, hey, you made a good Tomb Raider game, you want to do something with the Marvel franchise? And like any company is going to be like, yeah, that's like a gold mine. Absolutely, I'll do something with the Marvel franchise. Like, all right, cool, we need a fighting game. Like a open world fighting game kind of thing, and they're just like, oh shit, guys, we fucked up.
Not our forte. Fake it till you make it. Let's go.
And they did, and it went to production. People were like, all right, cool. And there's some, you know, greedy business guy was like, okay, yeah, I sign off on that. And then it went to production, and you know, we have what we have now.
Could you put microtransactions in that game? Yeah, sure. Oh.
Oh,
Dwayne, did you find out the Silver Surfer's origin?
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't want to be rude and look at it while we're talking.
Oh, okay, well, All right. So anything else? Anything else? I guess we'll never know. Yeah. I mean, we'll never, it's not like we could stop, pause, and then go look it up and then, you know.
No, nope, it's unknowable.
It. Yeah.
It's unknowable.
Nobody will know. Oh, I mean, I'm sure somebody
out there. Here we go. So, yeah. Oh. He was a scientist. Originally a young astronomer named Norin Rad on planet Zenlon.
I'm sorry. His last name was Rad.
Yeah. R-A-D-D.
Okay.
And
continue.
His name was, hold on, NORAD. So, you know.
Yeah. And then Galactus came and he offered his services to save his homeworld.
Hmm. And the Galactus is like, boom, you're the Silver Surfer, one of the most powerful beings in the world. Second to me.
Yeah. How does the silver and the surfing parts?
Yeah. I don't really know about that part.
Okay.
That probably goes into some, I don't know, maybe Galactus made him. Who knows?
I'm gonna go with this whole conversation led to the rhinestone rollerblader, and
yes,
that's the greatest thing ever.
So. I feel like the rhinestone rollerblader is actually just a figure skater.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Yeah,
like I feel like that's the marrying of those two things is figure skating.
But then somehow mixes martial arts into the figure skating, so like uses the blades of the skates.
So it's hockey.
Oh, well, I was thinking like they just do jump kicks and shit with their bladed feet. And
oh, yeah.
Imagine a triple axle, but the blade is just like slicing you the entire time.
Exactly. Yes. Thank you, Patty, for coming along with me on this one.
Yeah. Okay. So here's some more for you. So, yeah, okay. It was Galactus that transformed him into the silver skinned cosmic super being.
Cool.
But it was patterned after an adolescent fantasy that was plucked out of Norin's memories.
Okay.
So it was like some cartoon that he had seen.
So this guy wanted to be silver?
And I think he wanted to be a surfer.
Oh.
The silver was an after effect.
Okay. Huh.
A byproduct.
Okay, cool. I dig it. I'm for it.
I'm sure somebody's going to be listening to this and be like, no, no, just no.
You know what?
No, you're so wrong.
That's fine. You know, we got the rhinestone rollerblader at this point. So
the internet, sure. I'm sure
that's a gold mine. I'm putting it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. We've talked all this time. Dwayne, who's your favorite superhero?
I probably Squirrel Girl.
That's right. I've asked you this question before.
Yeah,
is that a serious answer or a troll?
No, that's a serious answer.
Okay.
She is balling.
Now, have you always liked Squirrel Girl, or was it up until the recent iterations of Squirrel Girl that you got into her?
I wouldn't say that it's the most recent iterations. It hasn't always been my favorite.
Okay.
I've always been a big fan of Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
Good choice.
Fire bad. Get out of here, Patty.
He's always reminded me of Frankenstein. He's green. He's an alien kind of thing. He's afraid of fire. He's Frankenstein. He's Frankenstein's 50s. Monster.
Fine. I mean, Alan Scott was had problems with wood. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you.
Fire All right, Patty. Bad.
All right, fire Patty, bad. Mr. Firebad, who's your favorite hero?
Like I said previously, I am a huge Green Arrow fan. I love Green Arrow. Oliver Queen will forever hold my heart.
Why does he use bow and arrows when guns exist, Patty?
Because bows and arrows are just more. Just how do you want to say, oh yeah, I shot that guy with a gun, and be like, okay, cool, or you want to be like, I shot that guy with a bow and arrow, and people are like, whoa, respect. Respect.
It dies.
Plus, he's rich.
Plus,
he's rich. So, like, archery was just like a pastime for him anyway. Like, I imagine all rich white people just shoot bows and arrows for fun. Like, I assume they're all like,
now I'm gonna make all the polo shirt protector.
I feel like all rich white people are just innately good at archery. Like, I feel that's a thing.
I'm gonna roll around with a polo stick.
But yeah, so Green Arrow, and then recently, after Steve Voodoo Arcade introduced me to the latest iteration of the comic, Mr. Miracle. Fantastic hero. Holy crap.
Yeah, I heard that series is really, really good.
And then, of course, my forever hero crush, and well, not really a hero, but comic book person crush will be Harley.
Okay.
Like Harley Quinn?
Yes.
Oh. That's your cool. See, mine would be Power Girl. I was going for crushes.
If you were one for crushes. Dwayne has ascended beyond that. He's on a higher plane.
Crushes are beneath me, but...
But if I was the first taken one...
If you're going to twist my arm on it...
Not that I...
I've spent days
thinking about this, but
let me answer your question quickly.
Round us out, Sean. How about you?
I have always been a huge fan of Spider-Man. Like,
okay, yeah,
he is.
Can't go wrong with friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, my first actual like real comic that I got was a Spider-Man issue, and just kind of loved him ever since. I did love the Fox cartoon. That was really good. All the movies have been great for me. And then back when I got back into comics and actually learned Mutants Masterminds around and somewhere in the middle of the 2000s, Marvel decided that it was time to reintroduce the cosmic universe. And so they invented the Guardians of the Galaxy with Star-Lord and all those. I love Star-Lord and like Nova. Those are two of my favorites.
Sure.
Yeah. Just I am a huge fan of just big spaces, big things, big explosions. And you can do that at cosmic level and it's not a problem. And
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at that. As soon as you said big open spaces, all I could think of was Dixie Chicks singing Wide Open Spaces.
Just explosions. Wide open spaces. Oh, okay, man. That's DMCA right there.
Yep, we're done. Man. All right, cool. Wow. Yeah. But basically Spider-Man. In fact, back when me and Steve and all of our friends played Utes and Masterminds, we rotated the GM and I would play Spider-Man, and I love that character. Just the ability to swing and use the webs as weapons and snares, and just he's strong, so you can lift cars and throw those. Just a really fun character to play.
So sure. Is that your favorite superhero and your crush?
Man, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I can't really think of a crush.
Oh, come on. You were a boy.
That's a lie. That's a lie. No, he's just like, embarrassed.
No, it's not that. Like, I can't think of who it was at the time, just because I haven't had to think about that in a really long time.
Yeah, I don't think about that at all anymore.
I mean...
Looks away.
When I was in middle school, I used to read a lot of, I mean, it's not really, wouldn't really consider it a superhero, but I used to read Witchblade all the time.
Yeah, Witchblade that tracks.
Comics, the Dark Horse comics.
Yeah, yeah. I went back and read a few of those and was like, yeah, I see why I didn't get into this. Nothing against Witchblade, just not my thing.
Come on, don't weasel your way out of it. You gotta
No. Don't think we forgot.
No, I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't think I had a comic book crush. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, with Spider-Man, it was probably Mary Jane, but that makes sense.
Mr. Vanilla over here.
I'll be the white bread. Sorry, I'm not crushing on Power Girl. My bad.
That's true. Okay, that's fair.
Cool. So any other thoughts? Any final thoughts? Anything left in your brain holes?
I mean, I guess my only real not even like a final thought, but more like a final comment is, you know, if you are a, especially if you're a fan of comics, and you do decide to get into a game like, you know, a game like Mutants and Masterminds or Aberrant or any of the other games that we've mentioned that have to do with superpowers or powered gameplay, get out of your box. That did sound kind of bad. But
I feel like that get good gamer, new gamer, Jesus.
You, hey kid, the one who only plays 5e, stop being lame.
I probably should have said step outside of the box.
That's a bit better.
Yeah, step outside of you know of your box and you know your favorite characters and try and play something else. You know, or even play your different character, but you know, with these game systems, you can variate them. So, is that even that a word to variate them?
Yes, it is now.
Variate them.
It's a word now, yeah. And I would say if you're going to run a game and you've never run a superhero game before, just go read like 5 different comics, mash those together, and just use those plots. Like,
yeah.
Just because it can get a little overwhelming, so stick to what you know. Keep it small. Don't try to go big. You end up in weird places if you do.
Yeah, don't try to have them form the Avengers straight out the gate.
Yeah, no, don't do like. And that's probably the more enjoyable thing in superhero games is. I always try to keep everybody separate so that you do get that newness and everybody sort of latches on to who they like. And you do build an Avengers event by like your third session, everybody's sort of riffing and doing whatever with each other. And it's pretty great. So and I think too, with the powers and everything, it's kind of hard to find your voice of your character, but don't worry. It comes pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, yeah.
Actually, I will say one more and then I'm done. If anyone is thinking of starting a Trinity Continuum Aberrant game and you're confused on like the world or the setting or even like a story to start out, watch The Boys, because that is exactly how the world is.
Oh man, The Boys. That is a mighty interesting and I will say good show. It's good.
Yeah, that the way that the superheroes in The Boys are treated are exactly how they are treated in that game.
Yeah, I feel like when Tyler was telling me the story behind Aberrant, I was just like, oh, that just sounds like The Boys.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Yeah, it's a company that has their own team of like superstars, and everybody else is just like social media people.
Which, funny enough, 10, 15, however old I am, years ago when we first started playing, like that was a thing that me, Steve, and our friends all came up with was like, and I want to say that sort of was born out of the Ultimates at the time, where instead of a nuclear race, it was a superpowered race because Captain America and the Super Soldier Serum was, everybody was trying to reinvent it, and that's what created superheroes in that universe. So. A superhero Cold War is always fascinating to me, and especially when you throw in like corporations and private military companies with superpowers, it's a real fun and interesting way to sort of
things get dirty real quick.
Yes, and you realize, oh, okay, it isn't just black and white and truth, justice, in whatever way, you know.
Yeah,
there's a little more subtlety. Really good. And nuance.
That's actually a very good. It doesn't come down to truth, justice, and insert way. It comes down to the right or wrong way.
Yeah. And I don't even want to say the moral way. Just the more better for everyone way. I don't know. Yeah. Just that's good. What's the most altruistic thing that you could do or answer you could come up with, but still ends up just
the better of two evils.
Yeah. Hate those choices. Cool. Patty, any final thoughts? Anything?
I will say, just to the topic of superheroes in general, I'll say two things, because who knows when the next time I'll get to talk about that is. But first being I recently started watching, I know I'm like super late to the party, the Harley Quinn animated show that's now on HBO Now, because it was like a DC Universe like streaming service only thing, but HBO bought it and yada yada yada. Right. That is fantastic. Highly recommend you watch that if you have a chance. Cool. not for the kids, but you should watch it if you get a chance. And the other is finally, because, you know, in this day and age, we all are tired of talking about with the coronavirus, but that is finally letting up with the whole thing of the vaccines are coming out and people are getting vaccinated and, you know, people are finally working together and hopefully things are getting a little bit better as far as practicing safe habits. So with all that being said, people should start safely wearing masks the whole time of doing it, but go back to and support your local comic shops and your local game shops and things like that. I know I'm excited to start doing that. I'm about to be fully vaccinated. And that is one of the big things I'm looking forward to is finally being able to go and do that. Oh.
Unleash the patty onto the universe again.
Yes. I am a tiny little city in Florida called Lakeland. And there is like one comic shop here. And boy howdy, the business they're gonna get here in a little bit once I can finally like it's gonna be a little ridiculous, but I encourage that everyone that's listening, you know, once you feel it's safe in whatever capacity that you are comfortable in doing. Go back and support those tiny little shops because that, I mean, that's how they thrive is, you know, people like us who go and give them our undying support. I think it's important that we remember that, you know, they need it as soon as possible. So I'm excited to do my part in that is here in a little bit.
Awesome. Thanks, Penny. That is a really good point. So yeah, I think that does it for us for now. Guys, tell us where we can find you on the internet here at Vorp Tales. What you doing? Where can we find you?
Go ahead, Dwayne. You yield it to me at the beginning. I'll yield it to you in the end.
Yes. So again, I am Dwayne at Made of Kimchi on the internet here at Vorp Tales, a storyteller, GM, and player in some games. If you are interested in seeing something that I will be a part of, the next time that you can see me is on our Twitch channel, Twitch.tv/VorpalTales. The next time I will be playing will be on Tuesday, where Tyler at Eldritch Echoes will be running the final episode of Mage the 20th Victorian Age, Skellamalink.
Now, is that true for when this episode will air?
I don't know.
Maybe. You know what? Doesn't matter. Skellamalink is a thing and watch it. You should totally watch it.
If it's already happened, go watch it on our YouTube channel.
Exactly. Yes. I was about to say it's on YouTube, so you can go watch it. Like all our stuff's there. So check it out.
Check out our archives on our YouTube.
Dwayne's serious about that. He's in charge of that. And you know, he'd really like it if his work was appreciated. So
yes.
Go do that.
Dwayne works hard.
I have been PattyShakes_ on the internet. Everywhere you can, that's where you can find me. I am also a storyteller and game master and player for Vorpal Tales. I am running a long-term 5e campaign in the Onyx Path Publishing Scarred Land setting, where our players are they're coming into their own, and I'm really excited for this trip they're going on, where they're really growing as players and really forming some deep bonds, and we're getting into some really good juicy backstory and history of the characters, and they're about to go against their first kind of big, you know, milestone here. They're about to solve their, you know, the mystery they've been dealing with since they started the game. So it's not too late. It's not too late to kind of get into that. We'll be running that game on Fridays for the foreseeable future. So even if this does come out after they've solved that, we'll still be on Fridays. So totally come check us out.
Awesome. And I have been at Space Lord PJs. You can find me on the internet at Space Lord PJs. You can find my website, my Doodle website, cartoon.ninja. Also check out VorpalTales.com, where you can find out all the cool stuff. Go to our Patreon, patreon.com/VorpalTales. We would like for you to Patreon us. That's a word now, verb now. Yeah, totally. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. Thank you, listeners, for listening and filling your ear holes with our awesomeness. And yeah, we'll see you next time. And for the love of the dice, game on.
Game on.